flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live at the Atlanta United Training Grounds this afternoon, hanging out with our guys as the season is upon us, guys. As a matter of fact, they'll play a friendly against Chattanooga coming up this weekend. You'll hear right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are Dukes and Bell, and we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! We are back together after a couple of days at home because of the weather, and we hope you're doing well. We do have a lot to get to this afternoon, and we are going to get a chance to talk to Brad Guzan, the goalie for our Atlanta United squad, in the 4 o'clock hour. And then Ronnie Dyla, who is the new manager, Mike. First time we're going to get a chance to talk to him face-to-face. And listen, we've heard great things about him. He's had an amazing career, and he comes in with a lot of experience. Hopefully he's a guy that can turn this thing around and we can get back to winning trophies here.
Right. And one thing that would be great, and I didn't take a chance to talk to Garth when we came in here at the state-of-the-art facility, but it would be really cool if we could drop between now and 7 the return of Miguel Almiron to the Five Stripes. I know they got some other irons in the fire, some other dudes they're trying to bring in, but I think you're going to like the Ronnie Dyla style, and we will ask him, for guys who are not familiar, because, you know, I think there's been ebbs and flows with United. I was talking to Matt Moore from United, and, you know, I had season tickets, and in the last couple of years, I'm that guy, Kroll, that I used to make fun of. Now that I'm outside the perimeter, I'm the dude who doesn't come into town like I used to, but love what I saw early in the season last year, and then for whatever reason, they lost it, and then they got it back at the end. But I'd love to see Atlanta United get that vibe going we had in 17 through 19, and hopefully this, I think style makes the fan interest, and I think you're going to like Ronnie's style. We'll learn about it.
We've got to get our designated players right. That's the area, you know, you spend the most money there. We got to get our DPs right. We'll talk to him about all that, man, and also his experience in being other places around the world. You guys can hit us up, 404-726-0929. That is our text line. It's also the number for you to call in as well. We're going to start to break down the AFC and NFC championship games today along the way, and our buddy Sean Merriman is going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour. What are you leaning right now? If I asked you today, Super Bowl is going to be whom? Who is there? Is it Chiefs? Is it Bills? Mike, I'm asking you this question. Who is in the Super Bowl next week when we come back to work and we're talking about this?
I got a feeling that as much as we want to see some new faces, it's going to be the same old, same old. I think it's going to be the Eagles, and I think it's going to be the Chiefs. I really want to see Buffalo get it done. I think Buffalo, and that's why I kind of harped on it at times last year. You missed your window when you had the Chiefs coming to your house. And every year the Chiefs always look, oh, this is the year. They look vulnerable. This isn't working. And Kelsey doesn't look like the guy. All of a sudden you see Kelsey pop again last week, right? And you see that defensive pass rush, which just, it just seems like conjure it up, like, and there it is. And I just think Kansas City at home is a different animal. And we've already seen them show the league they could do it on the road last year. But I'll be pulling for Jake. I'm saying for Josh Allen, I should say. I'll certainly be pulling for Jaden Daniels and those Commanders, upstart Commanders. But I think we're going to see the Eagles and the Chiefs rematch.
Yeah, look, you could arguably say the Chiefs have just turned it on, right? They coasted, and I do mean this. Think about how many times they could have lost this season, including to us, and they didn't. And they found ways to win, and then they get into the playoffs, and last week all of a sudden Kelsey has all these balls, 7 for 117. He looks like the Travis Kelsey of old, and they just coast into another victory. I feel like they're on a path with destiny, meaning a chance to three-peat. Mike, I don't think you're gonna have any guy in that locker room, specifically the guys that know this will be tied to their legacy, not show up on Sunday and understand what's at stake. But I do like what the Bills are doing. I think it's going to be a fascinating game. We're going to talk about all of that and much more. I got to share this with you guys because I don't know if it's happened to you, but I was just telling Mike this as we started the show today. So I was at the grocery store the other day. This is before the storms hit,
right?
Because I wanted to get some groceries just in case we're going to be at home and didn't know, you know, we were going to get snow, blah, blah, blah. And I get there, I'm in line, I got, you know, I don't know. It came out to maybe $100 worth of stuff. It wasn't a whole lot, just a few items. Because you guys know, a few items at the grocery store is $100. So I get in line, I get ready to check out. And this is not a, hey, man, or a, hey, where's Mike Bell story.
Right.
This is literally, she rings up all of my items, and she goes, okay, your total is $106. And I pull out my debit card, and I'm like, okay, no problem. Can I tap? Can I put it in? And she goes, do whatever you want. And I tapped it, dude. And she goes, okay, you just need to put your code in. I'm sorry? My code? Oh, my God, I forgot my code.
Oh, no.
I forgot my code. Hold on. Wait a minute. I know. Mike, I was so embarrassed. And look, the only reason I'm telling this story, one, is because I felt like an idiot because there were other people behind me.
Oh, now you're that guy. Now you're the old lady signing the check.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So people,
oh, man.
And you know, happened to be this this black dude behind me, like two folks behind me. And he's doing the whole thing where you get out of line and you kind of do the look like, what's going on up there? So I'm like, hold on, I know it. 6, 7. Ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't know my code. So Mike, she looks at me and says, is this your card? So I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, here we go.
I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, of course it's my card. Do you want to see my ID?
And she's, now, what do you think? Some credit card fraud here on aisle number 3?
So then she says, yeah. Okay, well, it's your card. Go ahead and do it again. So I put the card in again. And the thing pulls up. Ding. And now, here's the deal, and I know some of you are going to say, Dukes, you can just press the button and bypass the code.
Right.
But it was bugging me so much that I didn't remember my code that I was like, and guys, I use it all the time.
Right.
So I'm freaking out. I'm like, okay, fine. I pay for the groceries. I leave the store. I get into the car. Mike, I'm sitting in my car like, am I getting onset dementia?
Oh, God,
like,
no.
Like, what the hell is happening to me?
Welcome to Dukes, and I remember what's his name.
So I get home and I say, Michelle, I feel terrible. There were people behind me. They were looking at me like I was a nutcase.
Now you're, what's his name? Marshall Ali in season 3 of True Detective.
It's true. So I finally get out of the line and I tell her, I'm like, and I forgot my code. So she says to me, you don't have it written down anywhere. Do you have your codes written down somewhere?
No, but I guess it was about a year ago, something on 60 Minutes, and they had some expert on credit card fraud and everything else.
Because that's happened to you.
And I've had it happen. I mean, we were driving down to New Orleans one year, it's funny, I used my credit card at a gas station, and 5 minutes later, I just bought $600 worth of stuff at a Home Depot in Greenville, South Carolina.
Are you
like,
in Greenville?
I'm like, wait, no, I'm actually in Montgomery, Alabama, strangely enough. So, yeah, I've had it happen. So I change my codes on a regular basis.
Okay.
And I generally use for me, it's a system of, you know, athletes' numbers. I know, because you can't go back to your graduate high school year, you know, because that's easy for someone to ask.
Too simple stuff.
So, yeah, just try to come up with something fresh. I know with our Odyssey, with our passwords, I've literally run out of ideas in places in the world I've been over the years, but I try to keep it fresh. But you're right. Then you go through that, and that's when generally I fail. But, yeah, there's nothing worse than being – I've never had that happen.
Mike, it was the worst. And now, so here's the deal. So I'm like, okay, I'm putting all my passwords right down. I'm writing them down to make sure I have all my passwords. But the deal is I kept all this stuff in my head, and for the first time I went completely blank.
Right.
I had no – like literally, I knew the first two numbers. I could not remember the last two numbers, and it just freaked me out. I know I'm not alone, but what's your system? That's my point. I want to know what your system is to remember this stuff, because nobody's walking around, hold on, with a damn list that they pull out and go, oh, that card, yeah, that's 6743. Nobody does that.
Now, when the Falcons give us the code to get in the building, which based on my comments, maybe that they will not give me a code to get in the building this spring. At minicamp. But yeah,
code has been revoked.
Yes, it's like, wait a minute. I told you the story when I was in Italy, for the guys who missed it this summer, because maybe you're on vacation. I was in Italy for Formula One, and I told Carl, I finally get to go to the race I've always wanted to go. And I'm sitting there at Monza, and I scan my phone, red light. He goes, you please try again. Red. Let me try my wife's ticket. Red. Oh, no. I go, no, I got this on Life StubHub. No, you scanned in at the 11 a.m. I go, no. I haven't been in the track yet.
He thought you had already
been. I'm like, no. And so then I had to. It was bogus. It was a fugazi. And so I went over. Luckily for us, we were at the main entrance, so where you could buy other tickets.
You got fake tickets.
Now, they were. It was not just. Now here's the thing. I will say this. This is where my anger management technique came in. Thank you to Dr. Bemis, because my wife is very proud of me. I didn't lose it. I go, okay, where can I get tickets? Because I figured this is a losing argument. Because even if I said, oh no, we were in. earlier today, then I'm going to have to fight over the tickets. There'll be two people, right. And they may, through no fault of their own, just bought the tickets on the same website.
Sure.
So I go to luckily the ticket window. There's a guy in front of me, an American, and he's freaking out. What do you mean these tickets are no good? Because basically it's going to cost you $1,000 now to buy new tickets to get in the track. And finally, and the guy, the Italian guy who's behind the counter, he's looking over at the shoulder at me, and I'm looking like, I'm sorry for this idiot. Let's just go. And so I go, finally I tap him on the shoulder. I go, dude, we got to go. Because you're just going to buy new tickets? I go, yes. I'll settle this when I get back to the States. So we get there. I get the tickets, and they turn out to be the better tickets. I wind up on the Ascari Curve, one of the famous high-speed S's in all of Formula One. Met some great people. The guy sitting next to me, you didn't hear the story. You're off. The guy sitting next to me, I go, did you go through the same rigmarole? He goes, yeah. He said about like 30 or 40 Americans, all that issues with StubHub tickets they bought online.
Wow.
And he goes, I had some screaming guy in front of me. He goes, I had a screaming guy in front of me. I go, what did you tell him? I said, sir, will you please get out of the way? And the guy says, you're just going to buy new tickets? And the guy who sat next to me goes, yeah, I'm rich. And it was kind of, he's a nice guy. We're frankly friends now on Facebook, but owns a big company in Arizona. But anyway, got back to the States, get on the phone. Literally, within 18 hours, I had a full refund from StubHub. No questions asked.
That's
no problem.
That's good.
And that's good. That's why when you see those guarantees, it is what it is. But yeah, that's where it's the freak out.
It is.
And needless to say, me about 5 years ago would have been like probably arrested in Italy.
Absolutely. I got fake tickets. I can't get in the race. I'm going to lose my mind.
And speaking of losing my mind, we will get into everything that happened because we're live here at Atlanta United. I was losing my mind. You weren't on TV last night, were you?
I was not.
So I would love to see your analysis at halftime as the Hawks were bricking every freaking shot. And Detroit, all of a sudden, we turned Detroit into the bad boys all of a sudden, right?
We did.
All of a sudden, they're just like punking everybody down low. Then we'll get into it. But that was getting me aggravated last night. I just eventually turned off the Hawks game. I can't lie to you.
Well, they got down so big. And then to try to fight back, I mean, ultimately they lose by 13 points. But, you know, this lead at one point was like 20. And, Mike, I don't know. Here's what I do know. The Pistons have turned the corner. And for a team that was abysmal and shameful and nobody wanted to support it and watch them, Cade Cunningham's a dude, man. 29 points last night, 11 assists. We talked about the triple doubles. I think he's got 7 on the year. But you're right. I mean, that was just a weird game. And the Hawks shot, for those who don't know, a season low 16% from beyond the arc. They couldn't hit a 3 to save their life. It didn't matter who it was last night.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you're
it was
right.
Ugly.
We will dive into that. You can hit us up 404-726-0929. We are live at Atlanta United's training grounds. Just sharing a little bit with you guys because I was freaking out.
Oh, that would wig me out. So did you ever figure it out? Has this number popped into your head?
No.
All right, we're going to have to see a specialist.
No.
We're going to have to see a specialist.
And here's the weird thing. I drove by an ATM today, and I went, maybe I'll just go and see if I can remember.
Oh, God.
But you know if you put in too many times.
Then they block you.
They
and block
you
jacked
out.
Up. Right.
So I'm literally.
And you're on the call center.
Yes. Correct.
Can't do that voice anymore. I'll get canceled. But anyway, you get the idea. No, because I take those memory pills because I always drive Chris crazy because I'll be talking about somebody.
What
and I'll
is it
go,
called? You,
the Ginkgo Biloba Ginkgo, crap. And Ginkgo, now they have these memory pills. You can tell.
Does it work?
Who freaking knows what's in it? I still jack. I'm not as bad as Steak with names, but I still screw up. I'll always transpose the first name with the last name. Oh, there's some guy from high school that I played football with or something that comes in. And luckily, Chris is in my ear.
That's Derek.
Yes, and him too. But that's what drives me crazy. So always, you know, always want to be as accurate as you can be.
You try.
On the radio.
Yeah, but you say it all the time. We talk extemporaneously, right. You know, 5, 6, 7 hours, whatever. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. Padley, P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. Dukes and Bell live from Atlanta United's training grounds. They have a friendly that they'll play against Chattanooga on Saturday. And we'll have it for you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, I believe, as we'll be carrying that for you. I know Mike Conti and company will be calling that game for you as we get ready for the start of the season. Mike, the question here today, and we're going to talk to our new manager, by the way. That's going to happen. Ronnie Dyla. Also, Brad Guzan's going to stop by. But I think the question is, how soon do we find out about some of these moves that we've been hearing about for Atlanta United? You think it's before we get out of here today?
Well, it would be great to hear. There's a couple of pieces that certainly would fit what we need. We need some athleticism. We need some speed. We need some conjunction, junction. What's your function? Get the ball from the back to the front. And Miggy, guys, you know, in years past, you've heard of guys coming from Europe, maybe at the end of their careers. You know, certainly Messi is that example, and there's been others before him. But this is a guy that can actually contribute. This is not a publicity stunt to bring in Miggy. And there was a photo, I heard Andy Randy talking about it on Miggy's social media, I believe on Instagram, where he and his wife were at the Harris Airport and perhaps heading here because somebody did 2 and 2 and said, oh, there's a flight that's delayed to Atlanta. Who knows?
Right, right.
But it would be really cool to be able to break that. Garth was not forthcoming with Andy Randy. Maybe negotiations continue. But there's a couple of things that we need. And Miggy would certainly fit the bill and put fannies in the seats, as we talked about last week.
Now, by the way, it's been a minute. We're usually out here, I don't know, 5 times maybe through the course of a season. And the last time we were here, Mike, and I'm looking, we are literally in their cafeteria area where these guys get a chance to put the good nutrients in their bodies.
Right.
But they're expanding this build. I don't know exactly what all is going to happen here, but this is an incredible space out here to begin with. Out here in Marietta, you know, they got all these different fields, and we've talked about it. Like, other franchises come to Atlanta to see what Atlanta United's doing, and they're jealous of the facilities and everything that's going on. But they're expanding this, so I'm curious to see what all that's going to be once it's all done. But that was not being built when last time we were out here.
It's getting bigger. I mean, basically, Falcons are getting bigger and better. This place is getting bigger and better. And you're right. When Chelsea was here last year, Newcastle, they talked about, like, and it's funny because you think English Premier League would have this state-of-the-art stuff.
Agreed.
And apparently we got even better stuff right here in your backyard.
All right, man. Coming up, we're going to talk about one potential dog that could change our defense. That is on the way in about 10 minutes. Again, we are live from Atlanta United's training grounds. Hey, Chris is out sick today, so Big Turtle, man, get better. He wasn't feeling well under the weather today. Orange back at the studio doing all the things, so Big O, appreciate you as always. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Well, Mike brought it up, and that is how poorly the Hawks shot the ball last night. They lose to the Pistons at home. Now, the Hawks have been playing well. You're going to have a clunker every now and then, but I just didn't expect it to be last night against this team. 16% from three-point range. They hit 6 of 38 attempts last night. That was the fundamental problem when you talk about what happened last night with the Hawks. They just couldn't hit shots. As a matter of fact, head coach Quinn Snyder was talking about it.
I mean, I think if we go back and look at the tape, we're getting great looks. I mean, they're just open, you know. And as I said, I think it's the mental, that moment when you miss, you've got to be able to have urgency to get to the other end.
Yes, you do. As we said, and I think you called this yesterday during the program. You said, "Watch out for Cade Cunningham. Check him." Nobody could. Dyson Daniels couldn't even get it. And he's our best defender, and he couldn't get that going. And you know, it's if you don't like the modern NBA, this is one of those games that would make you go, because like if we'd come down, whoomp, clank. And all next, you know, it's a 15-foot rebound, and all of a sudden Detroit's going the other way in transition, and they're taking it right to the rack. So they were getting all their points in the paint. And meanwhile, as we said, I mean, 6 of 38 from 3? Good God.
It's terrible. I'll tell you what else is terrible. What's wrong with Bogey? What's going on with Bogey? Bogey last night was 0 for 9 from the field. Mike, this goes back to Monday's game against the Knicks, where he didn't make a three-pointer, and it broke his streak of at least 1-3 in 110 straight games. So now, his last 14 shots over 3-plus games, Mike, this guy is 4 for 29 from three-point range in his last 5 games. He's shooting a career-low 30%. Bogey, all of a sudden now, has become a liability.
Yes, and we need to get Bogey off the books, but maybe you don't know this about sports, hard to trade someone when they're not doing their job very well. So I know we've talked about Capella's expiring contract. We had thought maybe Bogey would be a piece in the offseason for somebody who needs some shooting. But we need shooting, but we need him to shoot. I don't want to sound like, oh, here we go, because you understand why somebody wants to represent his own country. But at age 32, did the extra wear and tear of the Olympics for a guy who's always had issues staying healthy just contribute to where he is right now?
It's a good point. And he played hard in those Olympics.
Yeah, and they kicked butt. He did a great job. And I get you want to rep your country, but it is always the downside. I mean, look, LeBron was well-rested because the Lakers didn't go anywhere. In the playoffs, so nor did we. But that's one guy that maybe you just didn't want extra wear and tear because Bogey just can't stay healthy. So I don't know. Is he not right? His shot ain't dropping. That's for
it's
darn
not,
sure.
It's not. Let us know what you think. Dyson Daniels, by the way, said, hey, we got the shots we wanted. We just did them. And he's talking about everybody, guys, whether it was Trey, Daniels, Johnson, Hunter, Bogey, Okongwu. Nobody was knocking down threes.
Yeah, I think we got good looks, first of all. Like, we got kick-out threes. We got the shots we wanted. And one of those games that didn't fall. And like you said, making is contagious. You know, when you're on a streak and you know guys are making threes, that's contagious. You feed off the crowd's energy and stuff. And when you miss, you know, that's contagious as well. So.
wipe that one from the books. They take on the Raptors on Thursday night. And then obviously, well, tonight, and then obviously, Mike, Saturday, Raptors.
Again. Yeah, I mean, look, it is just disappointing. You figure the guys hadn't been home in, what, 3 weeks? You figure that, hey, they're going to go home cooking, get things rolling. You said, man, can't sleep on Detroit. And that's just ugly, and it doesn't define this team, but we're looking for a nice run to further reinforce with the front office potential moves, which maybe require spending some money. I don't know. Are they not going to get in any situation which increases the payroll or creates a tax? I don't know. It's so convoluted anyway, Carl, but I just want to see this team, if they look like they're showing an improvement, let's help them out. Because right now, as we said, we're so close to being the fourth seed, you know. That's a very disappointing loss last night.
No doubt about it. Hey, let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Georgia's going to kick themselves later in the season if this one comes back to bite them. They were up 15 last night on the road against Arkansas in Fayetteville. And then Arkansas rallied to win 68-65 for their first SEC win, Mike. Let's hear from Mike White, the head coach of the Georgia basketball program, talking about that one of the things they didn't do is rebound.
Just didn't do a good enough job getting the offensive glass and got pounded on the defensive glass, especially in the second half. Give up 18 offensive rebounds on the road. Tough to overcome.
Now, we were just pumping them up, and they're in the top 25, and now they're out of the top 25.
Yeah.
It's a very competitive SEC. That was the first, if I'm right, I believe that's the first conference win for Calipari.
It is.
With the Hogs. So that's disappointing. You know, it was a hell of a game against Auburn. They unfortunately, I mean, that's a great Auburn team. We know that. But we'd like to see them kind of just, you know, stop the bleeding. That's a tough loss for them last night.
18-6 run for Arkansas. It was 46-31 with 16 minutes to play. And Georgia should have walked away with a dub.
Yep.
They didn't. Mike White, talked about the fact that his group was not focused the way they should have been defensively.
Our defensive attention to detail and physical and mental toughness wasn't as sharp as it needed to be to win on the road.
Yeah, and like I said, when you start talking about conference standings, SEC conference, tournament play, whether they're on the bubble to get into the tournament, like that's a win
right.
That would have helped you out on the road.
Yes.
And so now it just hurts because you lost. But a month from now, Mike, we may be looking at this differently with Georgia and where they may be potentially trying to get into the tournament. I do like the team, though. I think Mike White's doing a really good job.
No, he's certainly, like we always said, and not that added pressure, but he knows this is the year where you got to check some boxes. Tournament, you know. A winning record in conference, you know, and making a run in March Madness, obviously.
All right, let's talk some NFL. Story number three.
Story number three.
I want you to hear our buddy Mike Pereira, who's a friend of the show, talk about he says it is a myth that Mahomes gets special treatment. This is one of the storylines going into this weekend. Bills back in Kansas City for the AFC Championship game. Listen to Mike Pereira.
It doesn't resonate with me at all. The fact that you're looking out for anyone, any team, any individual is a myth. It is an absolute myth. You don't have time to react and say, this is golf. I'm not going to call this because it's golf. This is Mahomes. I've got to call this because it's Mahomes.
Well, we love Mike, and we got a good relationship with him. He's full of crap. I mean, you know, the guys, the legends get the treatment. Brady gets it. You know, the guy, Aaron Rodgers at times gets it. And, look, some of these veteran quarterbacks know when to just take the hit and get down. But we've seen these guys get a lot of calls. We saw with Tom Brady against Grady Jarrett.
That's right.
We've seen it a million. Come on, guys. And look, whether it's a different officiating team, and in some cases it's just the optics for the NFL are terrible because with millions of dollars being gambled on these games now and they're promoting it, you got to get this thing tightened up. And it just looks like, man, anytime you get even so much as within a hair of Mahomes, the flag comes out. And we all know how they beat the Chargers, how they beat the Bengals this year. I mean, the refs played a big factor in that.
Mike, I also think he says you don't have time. This is when we see those late flags, though.
That's the one that drives you crazy when you're watching, especially pass interference.
Yes.
You count one Mississippi, two, and then, oh, it was stuck in his pocket. No, the sideline worked you. They got on you, and then the flag comes out. That's not professional.
It's not. And that's why when Mike Pereira says we don't have time, that's the part where you're thinking about it. Oh, crap, that's such and such. Okay, now I got to throw the flag, and the crowd goes crazy.
Right.
Because we saw it 4 seconds before you did.
Do you think, you know, Jordan's dynasty with the Bulls, that's obviously the most successful period for the NBA, the Yankees, when they were winning all those games. Does the NFL want a three-peat? Or do we want to see Buffalo get in? I mean, if there was an agenda, if an agenda existed on Park Avenue at NFL headquarters, what would it be?
It'd be three-peat. Yeah. It'd be three-peat. It would be, regardless if you're a Chiefs fan, more interest in seeing something we've never seen.
Correct.
All right, coming up, guys, we got lots more to get to, including the perfect player to help our defense. Is he going to be there? And on top of all of that, he's a guy you know well. We're going to tell you about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are happy that you are here hanging out with us on Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. Hey, this hour again is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home fast, guys, with Padley, P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. And we appreciate you hanging out with us. Hey, coming up, we're going to get into an NFL Blitz 4th-and-1 segment at the top of the hour. We're going to talk more about some of the rookie quarterbacks we saw this season. One is playing. By the way, you guys do realize Jaden Daniels wins Sunday. He'll be the first rookie to go to a Super Bowl, right? Starting all season long and to go to a Super Bowl.
Roethlisberger went his second year.
Correct.
In Pittsburgh.
We've seen some, listen, Marino's rookie year. We've seen some great rookie seasons. But no rookie has ever gone in his rookie season to the Super Bowl. So there's a little history on the line. And by the way, I'm not counting the Commanders out, by the way. I know everybody's on the Eagles. I get it. Mm-hmm. I just think, man, like, if you're telling me this is a one-possession game at the end, just like what we've seen all season, and this kid's got to go down and get a field goal or a touchdown, Mike, if I had extra money, I'd put it on him.
Well, I mean, look, if you didn't see the game last week, Jalen Hurts, man, that left knee got bent backwards like a pretzel. And, you know, they're going to obviously slow roll whatever that is information-wise in the injury report. It didn't look good. He was definitely feeling it, and it certainly that will affect him. So if, you know, Dan Quinn's guys can get after it. Look, it's funny. There's still this, I don't know, this heartbreak and a lot of anger toward Shanahan, certainly towards Dan Quinn, about how we blew Super Bowl 51. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't hold a grudge as much. I didn't like the Ulbrich hire. Okay, it's been like a couple days now. It's done. What am I going to keep complaining about it? Okay, hopefully he figures it out. Guys hire their boys and yippee-ki-yay. With Dan Quinn, yeah, I was in my bag for a while. I got a kick out of watching him kind of blow it with the Cowboys in the playoffs, what Green Bay lit him up. But now, hey, man, let's see the man get the win. Because he's carried that loss like anybody who's in that organization, like an albatross around his neck. It'd be one of the ultimate redemption stories if Dan Quinn could bring home the bacon.
Yeah, you can't get away from it. We've always said this, until you win it. And once you do, then for Dan Quinn, it's never a discussion about what was. It's always about this. And by the way, if he is to win it, this would be more impressive. I'm just telling you guys, like, he had a veteran quarterback, a veteran team here. We were supposed to be good. It's why they brought him in. This is a completely different situation. New ownership, rookie quarterback, new staff. Like, you can – this is a whole different animal, and if he's able to get them there and they win it, yeah, Mike, this trumps whatever we did as far as getting to the Super Bowl, even though we had a great team, simply because we will have never seen it before with a rookie. All right, man, we'll talk more about that coming up in our 4th-and-1 segment. What if I told you guys that at 15, and that's currently where we're picking, okay? Mike and I are going to break down plenty of draft conversations, so much so by the time we get to the draft, you guys will know everything that you need to know leading into it. The question is, and we don't know this, do we stay at 15? Do we move back and try to acquire some additional picks? Some of the picks maybe that we lost. All of that is yet to be determined. But with this conversation, we are staying where we're at, and that's at 15. What if I told you Jalen Walker was there?
Done.
At 15.
Run, don't walk. Call it in.
UGA linebacker. He's a do-everything, edge hybrid. Guys, we need better linebackers, and we need playmakers. And so I'm just saying, like, Mike, we talk about all these guys. Who do you want? Jalen is a guy that can get pressure on the quarterback, but he can do so many more things. This, to me, screams you have to do it if, in fact, he was there. And I only bring it up because everybody keeps saying, all right, how do we get better? These are the kind of guys you bring in to get better.
Right, and we've said this a million times. If you're new to the show, it's not just to go get the guy with the G on the side of his lid. It's because they put guys in the NFL that kick ass. Look at the teams that are alive in the playoffs. Look at the teams who made the playoffs. Look at the Eagles. Howie Roseman gets it. Never understood why our general managers who know this resource, you can go up and talk to Kirby. Coaches loving having NFL people at their practice because it helps to bolster their brand. Why do we always seem to go the other way? Now, last year they were locked on Michael Penix Jr., so be it. And we believe in him now, and that's the way that cookie crumbled. But, brother, for once in our lives, if Mykael Williams for some reason slipped to 15, which not likely, all the mock drafts have him in the top 10, or your point about Jalen Walk, yes, it makes perfect sense. It just never seems to go our way. You and I, it was about a year ago, I went back, and looked at the entire history of the Falcons draft, and it's insane how few Georgia players. If you take it back all the way back to the start of this franchise, it's literally less than 24 Georgia Bulldogs have been drafted by this team. It's insane.
Yeah.
It just defies logic, but that's the way we've rolled.
Yeah, it only because, again, even when before they were winning national championships, they've always been loaded with great players. They have. The point. It's not like this just is a phenomenon that happened over the last 5 or 6 years. Georgia has always had great players. The fact that they weren't able to put it together for more national championships, Mike, has been the real question.
Right.
That was kind of like, you've got all this talent on the field. They've been putting guys in the NFL. So it's not like, okay, now because they're good, they should be getting Georgia players. But I just think, like, there are certain guys, and I'm earmarking this right now. If Jalen Walker's there, I'm screaming, Terry, you better go get this dude. Like, that is a guy that is flexible. He's versatile. He can do so many things. And that's the kind of guy we need.
And before I get into it with the Wikipedia Warriors, yes, we've drafted 3 Georgia Bulldogs the last 2 years. Zion Logue, Justin Schaefer, and Josh Fitzpatrick. So, I mean, and those picks, by the way, were in the 6th round, in the 6th round, in the 6th round.
Mike, I'm talking about a first-round pick.
Correct. So I just know there's always like, no, technically you're wrong, Mike. Yes, I'm talking stars. I'm talking impact. I'm talking they get to hug Roger Goodell on the stage picks, okay?
Yes.
Those picks.
I'm with you. Listen, if you are 5th or 6th rounder, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, because greedy. Now, look, by the way, for instance, Dimitroff and his scouts like Clemson. Nothing wrong with that. They put guys in the league, too. And even though Vic Beasley did pop for a minute, he flamed out. But Grady Jarrett's been one of the greatest Falcons of all time.
I agree. So that's just something that we're talking about because it's on the, in the back of our heads as we approach the offseason. We are technically in our offseason, by the way. I mean, the season's over. They're already, they did their exit interviews. All the stuff that needed to go on has gone on. The next thing for us is going to be things like the Senior Bowl. And, projecting to what's going to happen at the combine.
Right.
That's really what's next for our team. So as we get past this next week and realize who's in the Super Bowl and then we play the Super Bowl, guys, that's what our focus is. And you cannot be looking past these kind of dynamic players even when they're in your backyard.
I mean, we're probably the only team in the NFL in the last 10, since 2010, so 14 years, that drafted 2 players from Montana and Montana State.
Troy Anderson, who's the other?
Shan Schillinger. Oh. Remember that dude?
Unbelievable.
So anyway, look, man, diamonds in the rough, and you don't have to go to a big school to be a star because everybody knows that Jerry Rice went to Mississippi Valley State, and that's great. But it just sometimes it's like,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's why there's only one Jerry Rice. And there's only one sweetness. Come on, stop.
The big brands, deliver the big goods. So, again, maybe this is the year. I don't know. But it would certainly, if there's Georgia Bulldogs available and they play defense and we don't take them at 15, they're going to be repercussions.
By the way, last week, those two big dogs up front for the Eagles won the game for them, Mike.
Yes.
They won the game for him.
And by the way, I've always felt, and you and I discussed at the time, it doesn't have to be that zero-sum argument that we somehow blew it by taking Bijan Robinson. I think Bijan is a rock star. We all know that. And Jalen Carter looks like a superstar. Both can be stars in this league.
Yes.
But I do understand, yes, when you see all the other Eagles that are Georgia Bulldogs, it does drive you crazy.
Well, and I know the argument because I got it a lot when we drafted Bijan, and I was banging the drum to say that this is the guy. He's the 5th or 4th best player in the draft. Go get him. But everybody was like, yes, but that's not what we need. We needed big defensive linemen. And that is still the argument to this day about why we went there and we didn't go there. So, Jalen Carter and those guys, man, last week, the end of that game, the Rams, they were just pushing guys out of the way.
And the one thing that was interesting is if you go back and you and I discuss what impact would Raheem Morris have on our draft this last year. Because if he was involved in that war room with the Rams, and you and I were so excited. Because they got 2 rock stars 2 years ago, 2 rock stars last year, doing the work on that D-line. So they didn't even skip a beat losing Aaron Donald to retirement.
They did.
And unfortunately, we went with, look, again, somebody thinks Rook Arorero is going to be a star, and we hope he is. Not saying he isn't. I've only seen a small sample size. I do know players drafted after him that we passed on had immediate impact. And we always were of the opinion it was all in these next 2 years with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a little confused by our drafting tactics, especially in the 2nd and 3rd round.
Mr. Yo hits us up. He says, fellas, I don't see the Jalen Walker talk. Guys, let me take you back. Because, see, this is where sometimes you get caught up in, I don't think he did enough. And, oh, do you guys remember when Aiden Hutchinson played right. Georgia?
Right. Totally stymied.
He didn't do jack.
Shut down by a better offensive line we could have used this year.
Yeah. What is Aiden Hutchinson in the NFL? He's a stud. And the reason is simple. Because you see things in college and you go, well, I don't think he's going to be that good. Aiden Hutchinson showed you throughout his career in Michigan he had the tools and the talent right. to turn into this edge rusher guy that you're now seeing. Guys, he's an elite edge rusher. Because he didn't do anything against Georgia, everybody jumped on board and said, oh, he's not that good. I don't know why they would even take him top three. That's silly. Right. No, it was the right pick. Don't get caught up in that. Jalen Walker's a player, man, and sometimes I think you want to see more from these players, and it doesn't happen, Mike, and then they get to the league, and you're like, man, I didn't think he was that good. He's that good.
Yeah, and again, this also goes back to I don't want projects, the kid from Texas A&M.
Oh.
No projects, proven pieces. So I know the argument would be, well, Vic Beasley was a proven piece. Yes, he was. He had a bunch of sacks coming out of Clemson.
He was good.
And unfortunately, we didn't know that his Valentine just wasn't there. He's a good guy, but did he have the passion? Did he have that want-to that Grady has? Ironically, the guy that came in the fifth round from that same draft was the dude with the want-to. So if you go back, just real quick, the names, Braden Fisk, I told you about all last year, Jared Verse, first and second.
Well, you watched him at Florida State.
And Braden Fisk. That's a worker bee that just crushes it. Meanwhile, last year, Byron Young, Kobe Turner, those guys accounted for like 22 sacks last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got dudes that are getting after it, and then you double down with more impact players. Meanwhile, we got projects. We got Troy Andersons, Nick Benito, 30 sacks. Think about that. The guy's putting up crazy numbers for the Broncos. If we went to Oklahoma. We went with the guy that played quarterback, running back, and linebacker. Yeah. Nothing against Troy, but can't stay healthy.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about the Rams, and we're just talking about how we improve our defense and projecting here a little bit and talking about this. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. The thing about this is, Mike, when they drafted Kobe Turner and those guys, they were rookies playing last year. They bring in Fisk and these guys. Right. They're rookies. And I talked about this a couple of days ago. Guys, the Rams defense as a whole is costing about $12 million.
Right. They nailed it. They knocked it out of the park. We haven't had a draft like that in the history of the Falcons. You'd have to go back to, and I'd have to go, maybe it was before Dan Reeves, so, but how we assembled the bomb squad. Shane Drunette, Worker B, you know, Travis Hall, Lester Archambeau, Big Chuck Smith, Joe. And we had veterans on that team, Cornelius Bennett, and, you know, we had, of course, Jesse Tuggle should be in the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, we had the perfect, that was a package of more veterans, but we've never really hit it. Patrick Kearney was a guy we drafted. John Abraham, of course, was a trade. So we've just never seemed to find a way. Carl, I wasn't here for Claude Humphrey. I'm sorry.
No.
I know he's a, you know, it was an amazing talent, but we just never hit on drafting these guys. Maybe this year it changes.
Yeah, it has to. All right, you guys let us know what you think. 404-726-0929. I'm telling you, I'm sold on Jalen Walker. If he's there, I'm taking him. That's where I'm at right now, and it's January 23rd. It won't change in April. 404-726-0929. Hey, coming up, 4th and 1's on the way. We're going to let you hear from Tom Brady, who ironically says he is all about staying in the booth as long as he possibly can. A lot of people thought this might be an experiment. He'd do it for a year, and he's like, I don't want to do this. Maybe I want to do, you know, just be an owner. Maybe I want to just be around the game.
Go fix the Raiders and let Greg Olsen call the number one games for Fox.
He says he's not going anywhere. We'll let you hear that. And also the latest on the coaching hires around the league next.